My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique, and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoop.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Who covers every aspect of the NFL and does it very, very well on ProFootballTalk.com, is back with us right now. He's also an author, and he has a new book, Son of Mine, coming out. Also has a book, Father of Mine, among others. And he's on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline. He's Mr. Mike Florio. Hello, Mike.
How you doing, Mike?
Mike, you with us?
I'm there.
You here? There we Beautiful. Go.
Hello.
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 New book. Congratulations. Tell us about it before we get into the stadium stuff.
Well, you know, it's a sequel to Father of Mine, which came out last year, but it also stands alone. If you're not inclined to read Father of Mine, you can read Son of Mine. It'll spoil Father of Mine in many respects, but it can be read as a single experience, and I'm happy with it. I am very hard on myself about everything. I always think everything I do sucks, and most of the time I'm right, but in this case, I really do believe this is great. I love it. I just put the finishing touches on it over the weekend, and I just hope people will read it and enjoy it. And for $4.99, it falls into that category of you can't buy anything this cheap, and you'll get, I don't know how long it takes people to read. It's 400 pages. You'll get however many hours of enjoyment as it takes you to read 400 pages. You can read it fast. You can read it slow, but it's 400 pages, so it works out to, what, a couple of cents a page, if that much. It's a pretty good bargain.
And it's out when?
September 3rd. You can pre-order now, though, on Amazon for $4.99 for the ebook. We'll have a print edition available as well on September 3rd.
Outstanding. Congratulations.
Thank you.
So, interesting question for Mike. What made you go from reporting on the NFL and writing Playmakers, which was a really great read all about the NFL, into finding your way into fiction writing?
Well, Playmakers was part of the pivot for me because it occurred to me at some point along the way, and I've done the math, I've written over 20 million words over the last 23 years at PFT, and everything I write today, by tomorrow, nobody cares. And everything I write tomorrow, by the next day, nobody cares. And I wanted to start spending some time writing things that would have relevance beyond the next 24 hours, if they even have relevance in those 24 hours. Playmakers has a little more of a landing strip, a little more of a runway, a little more time for it to be something that people could read and learn about the NFL and enjoy. But fiction is timeless if you do it right. These books that I've written, Father of Mine and Son of Mine, are set in the early 70s. They are when they are. It doesn't matter when you read them. You can read them 100 years from now, and it still gives you a snapshot of what life was like in the early 70s in small town West Virginia, where the mob was basically running roughshod over the entire city with impunity and without much police intervention. So that's why I do it, because it's the counterbalance to the crap that I produce every day, and some would say it really is crap again. But it has a very short shelf life, so I balance it out by writing things that ideally have a longer shelf life, and I can write really fast because I've written so much over the years. It's a different kind of writing, but I've taught myself how to do it the same way I taught myself how to write about the NFL. So here we are, 4 years in, 8, 9, 10 manuscripts in, and we're getting them out there as quickly as we can, one at a time. And again, hopefully people will give them a try. All I ever say is give it a try. If you put it down, that's on me. my goal and my objective and my obligation is to craft something that if you read the first word, the first page, the first chapter, you'll want to keep going and then keep going and then keep going.
Well, we wish you luck with that. Congratulations. And now can we talk about the crap you write every day?
Sure, yeah. As Aaron Rodgers once said, and I hope this is on my tombstone, don't waste your time reading crap like that.
I love your website, by the way, Pro Football Talk. Here in town, we have this big thing going on about stadiums. And the Haslams released a big video of what they would like to build in a suburb of Cleveland out by the airport. It includes all kinds of things, and it also includes a very big price tag that they would like local governments to pick up some of the price tag for, like half of the stadium, and they'll do the rest on the development and all that. The local politicians say, we love this place on the lakefront that nobody's liked since we built it, and we're okay with the idea of sinking $1 billion into it. But they would like the Haslams to sign a 30-year lease, which makes no sense to me. In this day and age in the NFL, is there one appealing option here for an NFL owner as opposed to a municipality? And can you find common ground here?
Well, my general position when it comes to stadiums for NFL teams, and it's not a popular position within the ranks of the 32 owners, but pay for your own damn stadium. You've got the money to do it. The franchises are now worth at least $6 billion each and going up all the time. The rubber meets the road when it comes to this idea of, hey, we're a great part of the fabric of the community and you can have other events here and you should pay for this. Pay for it yourself. And some teams have done that. Stan Kroenke did it in L.A. The Crafts own their stadium in New England. There are benefits to owning your own stadium if you're willing to pay for it. This idea that there's some sort of shared obligation by the taxpayers to pay for it, I think it's a load of bunk, and I think any time you would ever put that proposition on a ballot, it will fail in any city, because even though in Cleveland, fans are crazy about the Browns, you know what? Most people who live in Cleveland aren't. Most of them. They would say, pay for your own damn stadium. Kansas City went down in flames when they tried to get a sales tax extended. It wasn't even a new sales tax. It was an existing sales tax. They wanted to extend it to renovate Arrowhead Stadium. It crashed and burned. And it's a weird political reality that if you put it on a ballot, the electorate would say no, but there's always a way to back-channel it through the existing politicians, because I think no one wants to be the one who is responsible for the team leaving. Now, in Cleveland, it's more delicate because a relocation isn't an option. I think this whole Brook Park thing is the leverage to get maximum taxpayer money for a renovation of the current stadium, and then the Haslams can say, all right, fine, we'll give up this pie-in-the-sky idea of having a Brook Park dome, and we'll stay here, and we'll get more money from state local government to pay for the renovation. I really do think this whole thing is a leverage play. I could be wrong, but I feel like they're selling Brook Park hard, and then ultimately they'll turn back and say, fine, good, we'll stay where we are, but you're paying for X percentage of the new and improved downtown stadium.
That's interesting.
So the way that this is looking, from what you've seen, and you've paid attention to the entire league as they've all played these things, is this looking like we are just going to end up renovating the stadium that's downtown? Or do you think this is going to end up in a new stadium somewhere else in downtown?
My gut tells me there's going to be a renovation of the current stadium. Or maybe there'd be a new stadium downtown if you can find a good location. And I don't know that the dome is serious. As I pointed out on X the other night, and this offended some Browns fans, I meant it as a compliment. The idea of Cleveland Browns football being played in a dome is like cooking a steak in a microwave. That's not the way it should be. None of these AFC North teams, and specifically not the Browns, the Steelers, or the Ravens, should be playing in a dome. If any of the four teams scream out dome, it would be the Cincinnati Bengals. So I don't like that. I didn't like it when the Vikings did it. I don't like the idea that the Bears are doing it. I don't like football in a cold weather climate being played in the elements. But if you're going to do it, part of the justification is we can have all these other events that otherwise wouldn't be conducive to open air in January, February, and March, whether it's a Final Four, whether it's concerts or whatever. But I feel like, again, when there isn't that clear leverage of maybe we'll move, and I just don't think you can play that card again in Cleveland less than 30 years after it was played very awkwardly by Art Modell and company back in the mid-90s. The leverage has to be, hey, we really want this, but we'll give this up if you make it worth our while. And it's all a dance. We see the letters being published for the general public to review, and it's a PR game. And I've seen it time and again, and I've seen it in communities throughout the United States as these efforts are made by billionaires, multi-billionaires, and they didn't get that rich by being stupid. If there's a trough of free money out there that you can go eat at to help pay for your stadium, why not do it? I mean, we see people do that all the time with different tax breaks and whatever. If somebody's going to give you free money, you go take it. But I think it's very transparent what's going on here, and I believe my gut feeling is, after looking at this, it's Brook Park Dome is leveraged to get maximum best possible deal at the lakefront, or maybe a brand new stadium if they can find a good spot for it downtown.
Mike Florio joining us from ProFootballTalk.com. What if this happened, Mike? What if they went Bob Kraft, they went Stan Kroenke, and they said, you know what, we really like this Brook Park concept, and we think we can make tons of money doing other things around the stadium as well, and turning this stadium into a destination. We're going to bring in private investors, and we're going to do this ourselves. How do you think that would play with the local governments?
Oh, hell, they'd love it.
Okay.
Pay for your own stadium. How would it play with the NFL, though? That's the problem. It creates a dangerous precedent, because once teams start paying for their own stadiums, you know what happens? Local governments elsewhere start saying, hey, you know, the Haslams paid for their own damn stadium. You pay for your own damn stadium. They're trying to cling to this as the skyrocketing values of franchises continue. That's the problem. And, you know, look at what they're considering now. They're going to meet in a couple of weeks to adopt a rule where you can sell up to 10% of your team to private equity. So go raise your $2 billion. Sell a chunk of your team that way. This game that they've been playing with fans and communities and taxpayers and politicians forever, there's a chance it's going to blow up soon, because you can't have $10 billion businesses, $10 billion with a B, that are saying, oh, we need the public to share in the burden of this venue, especially when you can turn a profit with a privately owned venue. And I think that's what it comes down to. If you really want Brook Park, if you really want to build a dome there, fine. Pay for it. You keep all the money. You make all the profit, but it's all you. We'll supply the land. We'll supply some infrastructure, but you build the dome. You own the dome. You run the dome. And if you think it can turn a profit, then more power to you.
Mike Florio, ProFootballTalk.com. Of course, the author of Son of Mine, which is coming out September 3rd. You can pre-order that anywhere you would get your books and your e-books. Joining us on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Mike, joint practices are starting to go around all around the league right now. Are we going to start seeing more and more of these joint practices instead of preseason games? Because it looks like the league wants to get rid of preseason games, and coaches love these joint practices.
Yeah, this is the fourth season of the 17-3. When I was a kid, it was 14-6, regular season, preseason. In the late 70s, they moved it to 16-4, 17-3, 18-2 is inevitable. And when you look at the reasoning that the commissioner, Roger Goodell, will advance for getting rid of the preseason games and adding regular season games, eventually we're going to 20-0. Eventually. I may be dead by then, but eventually I think that's what we're going to see. So joint practices become the way to simulate the preseason game, because really all the preseason is a glorified scrimmage. That's all it is. Charge full price, although maybe they don't charge full price anymore, but it looks like a game. It feels like a game. Why do I watch it? It's on TV, but it really doesn't matter. I mean, it matters to the individual players who are trying to earn their spots on the roster. Of course, the veterans are like, hey, don't play so well. I don't want you taking my spot on the roster. It's still a zero-sum game with 53 jobs ultimately available. It's just figuring out who's going to have them. But I think we're going to see more and more joint practices. We're going to see fewer preseason games. And eventually the NFL, I believe, will have 20 regular season games and no preseason games whatsoever.
Mike Florio joining us from Pro Football Talk. Earlier this morning, Mike Hall Jr., second-round draft choice of the Browns, arrested by a suburban police department, the Avon Police Department here, on domestic violence charges. They obviously think highly of Mike Hall Jr. This is a bad situation for the Browns. How should they handle this one?
Well, you defer to the league on this one because it's all going to fall under the personal conduct policy. The league may come in and say, depending upon the facts, depending upon the allegations, depending upon whatever the situation is, as the NFL determines it to be, he could be put on paid leave. The personal conduct policy doesn't get activated until the criminal process is ended, and then the league comes in, does an investigation, imposes discipline if discipline is necessary. As we learned 2 years ago, there's a third party who makes the decision about what the facts are and what the discipline should be. That happened with Deshaun Watson. But if it's particularly heinous, you could have paid leave. If the allegation is heinous, it doesn't matter if you did it or not. They'll tell you, stay home with pay, and they view it as not discipline. I think for guys who play football for a living, it's not like a paid vacation from your job that you hate and you can't wait to get the hell out of there. You want to play football. But that's one option, paid leave. The other option is he's still with the team until the case is resolved, and then they make a final decision. But there's still a lot to be determined. The bottom line is it's a problem. It's an issue. And we'll find out in the coming days and weeks how it gets resolved.
Mike, what are you hearing about Deshaun Watson and how he's looked so far in camp?
Well, I mean, I don't know much more than what's available to anyone else who's paying attention. He's practicing. They're being careful with him. He's cleared for contact, and now it's time for him to ultimately earn that contract. This is the year, and he's the biggest wild card for the Browns, and it makes the Browns a huge wild card. Will he finally justify the massive investment that was made? And we get caught up in the contract and all the hullabaloo about guaranteed deals, 5 years, fully guaranteed. Haslam's got the cold shoulder from other owners for giving him that contract. You know, the thing gets overlooked. Three first-round draft picks that they invested, that they could have had, that could have been young, relatively inexpensive players who helped form the nucleus of a team that is pretty damn good. I mean, look at what they did last year with Deshaun Watson playing only six games. What would they have done if they had those picks, or if they had a return on their investment from Deshaun Watson? I think this is the year. I know he's under contract two more years at $92 million total after this season. At some point, you got to wonder, do they just rip off the Band-Aid and move on if they don't get what they need from Deshaun Watson this season? This season is critical. There's pressure on him. That's the problem with a fully guaranteed five-year deal. On top of everything else that causes pressure for the player, the mere existence of that contract adds to that external sense of you better go out there and prove yourself.
Mike, what if this year for Deshaun Watson and the Browns goes as the last 2 years went for Deshaun Watson and the Browns? In other words, maybe he doesn't play much, and when he does, you're still looking for that guy that you saw in Houston years ago.
I think at some point you got to have the hard conversation. Do we just pay him to go away? Do we do what the Broncos did? It's somewhat different, but look, the Broncos paying the difference between $38 million and $1.21 million, which is what Russell Wilson is getting from the Steelers, he would be $46 million in 2025, $46 million in 2026, less whatever Deshaun Watson would earn elsewhere. Nobody's trading for that contract. Now, they could do kind of like that Brock Osweiler deal that we saw from, what was it, 7, 8 years ago, where the Browns got a second-round pick to take on a contract that was fully guaranteed that the Texans wanted to get out from under. Or you could see a situation where the Browns pay a lot of the money for somebody else to take Deshaun Watson. But I feel like this year it's hard to justify to the fan base and to the team giving it another roll of the dice if this is another season of six games, multiple injuries, player doesn't play like he did. We're 4 years removed from the last time we saw Deshaun Watson play at a high level. 4 years, that is a long time as NFL goes. And confidence is such an important part of a player's overall performance, production, and perception. He's got to turn it around this year, or it's going to be hard. It's going to be very hard to keep. I mean, they're going to have to pay the money anyway. But beyond the money, what is our team? What is this doing to our team and our effort to try to get to a Super Bowl and win it? And I feel like they got a roster that could get there if they could just stabilize the quarterback position. If it's not Deshaun Watson, they got to start thinking about somebody else.
Mike, always a pleasure. We thank you for being with us.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Florio, Mike. Pro Football Talk, joining us on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. And again, his new book, Son of Mine, coming out in September.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoops.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
You heard what Mike said. Pay for your own damn stadium. And I didn't know that the word damn preceded stadium every time the word stadium came up. Browns fans, what would you think of that? As Mike said, he would think, hey, great, that's fantastic. Except the NFL owners might not agree with that. If the Haslam said, we're paying for this whole thing, would that play? Would you be happy with the idea of a dome stadium? 216-474-0092. We'd love your thoughts on that and more. Hody with a 2020.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoops.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.